Accelerating the Learning of Low-Achieving Students, The Transformation of a Dropout, by Christine Finnan and Jean Chasen. Anthony, a stocky, muscular young African-American man with a smile that exudes warmth and enthusiasm, chose a path taken by far too many of his peers. He became a high school dropout. He started down this path long before he entered his urban high school in Wisconsin in 1997. Throughout his years in school, he had never been pushed to excel, and no one had taken the time to build on his potential. Anthony quickly adopted the attitude that school was a boring waste of time. He saw himself as an academic failure. Judging by the academic record that he had created in his middle school, they agreed. By the time Anthony entered high school, he was completely disengaged from classroom learning. He attended classes, but did the minimum possible to pass to the next grade. His high school didn't seem to expect any more from him. And so Anthony and his school entered into an unwritten pact. We won't push you too hard, and you won't have to work. If you show up and stay out of trouble, you will pass. Anthony's primary reasons for attending school were to hang out with friends and play basketball. Eventually, he began to break the pact he had made with his high school. Rather than attending class, he began coming to campus only at lunchtime, when he could socialize and play basketball. By 1999, Anthony had officially dropped out of school. Few adults at the school noticed. As Anthony put it, quote, "I saw myself as an unsuccessful student who did not belong in school. This was a view shared by my mother. I belonged on the basketball courts and with my friends. After years of going to school but not learning and being viewed as a failure, I gave up." End quote. Unfortunately, Anthony's experience is not unique. National high school graduation rates hover between 68% and 71%, indicating that about one-third of all high school students drop out. When these figures are disaggregated and we look at African-American students, the odds of dropping out increase to 50%, and males are more likely than females to leave school. From a purely statistical standpoint, then, Anthony's decision to drop out is not surprising. But surprising or not, it still represents a terrible choice because the future for high school dropouts is indisputably bleak. Anthony's story embodies several common reasons for dropping out. The school experience was boring and disconnected from Anthony's life. His family did not encourage him to do well in school. In fact, his mother actively discouraged his attendance or engagement. It appears that none of Anthony's past teachers or principals saw his potential. He felt like a failure, and no one tried to change his mind. A recent report, The Silent Epidemic, Perspectives of High School Dropouts, tells very similar stories. Based on focus groups or interviews with a total of 467 ethnically and racially diverse 16 to 24-year-olds from 25 different locations across the United States, this study found that most students do not drop out because of poor achievement. 70% of the dropouts interviewed said that they were confident they could have graduated if they tried. Nearly half of the sample cited boredom as their reason for dropping out. This is not to say that all of these young people were star students prior to leaving school. 45% felt poorly prepared by their previous school, and 32% had already repeated a grade. Like Anthony, the young people in these interviews reported that the process, of becoming a dropout was a gradual one. They started by disengaging from specific classes. Then they missed a lot of school. Eventually, they simply stopped attending altogether. Anthony's mother is an extreme case of non-support, since she actively discouraged his efforts in school. But most of the dropouts interviewed came from families that showed little interest in their education. Many students reported that their parents became interested in their education only when it became clear that they were dropping out. The fact that Anthony had repeated a grade increased his chances of dropping out. The literature on the effect of retention on student achievement is contested, but most studies show little positive effect on achievement. Moreover, they find a much higher chance of dropping out for students who have been retained. Even retention in kindergarten, often seen as a way to help students who are immature or need time to catch up, appears to have more negative than positive repercussions. Too often, being held back a grade merely means that students do twice what they failed to do the first time. Schools do little to address the students' academic or motivational problems, and especially in the upper grades, retention often appears to be as much a punishment for not doing the work as a sound educational strategy. After he left school, Anthony's life was in a holding pattern. He wasn't getting into any serious trouble, but he did little more than hang out with his friends and play basketball. He ran away from home and disengaged from most of the positive influences in his life. He wasn't interested in working, and he was beginning to realize that he had made a big mistake in leaving school. Because of his past failures and his memory of the numbing boredom of school, returning to his former high school was not an option he seriously considered. However, when Anthony dropped out, a counselor at his high school told him that he might want to think about a program offered by Affiliated Alternatives, an alternative school affiliated with Accelerated Schools Plus, the national school reform model. After a year's hiatus from school, Anthony was willing to at least check it out. Affiliated Alternatives brings together four alternative programs for students who are at risk of failure or who have already dropped out. 1. Alternative Education Resource Options, designed for overage 8th grade students or failing 9th graders to give them a chance to move successfully to 10th grade by the end of the program. 2. The Cluster Program, focused on a small, select group of high-risk middle school students. 3. The School-Age Parent Program, a voluntary program for pregnant or parenting students. And 4. The Work and Learn Center, designed for students who are close to completing high school but can benefit from the linking of school and work experiences. Anthony was eligible for the Work and Learn Center, WLC. He went by himself, despite the fact that his mother told him he was wasting his time by even checking it out. He didn't want to tell any of his friends about this decision, in part because he knew they would make fun of him, and because if he failed in this attempt to learn, he didn't want them to know. Anthony entered the building armed with well-practiced bravado and a determination to preserve what little self-esteem he retained. Soon he found that the staff members at the WLC were on his side. They actually cared about him, and they thought he had more potential than anyone else had ever seen in him. One of the first things Anthony did was to start working. As Anthony describes it, quote, "Once I started at WLC, I was assigned to work in a preschool program. This made me feel good, and I had to show up because the kids needed me. It was fun to be needed and looked up to. Eventually, I found that learning was fun and school was supportive." End quote. WLC provided a strong base for Anthony. The program is designed to engage and challenge students by making their learning relevant and by setting high academic standards for them. This is done primarily by emphasizing the connection between school learning and real-life learning. For example, one semester Anthony worked on a construction project. Most of his reading and writing and all of his math assignments related to his experience building houses. Anthony also learned some important life skills. As he put it, quote, "I got paid for my job, but I had to learn to do my job," end quote. Through WLC, Anthony learned to take responsibility for his actions and to accept the support and concern of a wide array of people. The road back to learning was not always smooth for Anthony. He had to learn the importance of motivation, not one of the strengths he brought to WLC. Anthony explained, quote, "I can recall on several occasions where I was ready to throw in the towel and quit attending WLC altogether because of personal problems at home, low self-esteem, and my inability at the time to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Incredibly, the staff of WLC never gave up on my potential as a high school graduate by throwing in the towel for me, even though my attitude was shaky at times. By the time I had reached an understanding and began taking control of my life, my desire to succeed, along with the help and encouragement from the staff of WLC, had become amazingly strong, which showed in not only my new attitude, but my homework as well." End quote. What Anthony experienced at WLC and other students experience in the other affiliated alternatives programs is a form of acceleration. Rather than focus on what these students do not know, affiliated alternatives assumes that students have strengths to build on. This is similar to the assumption behind acceleration programs for gifted students and is at the core of the National School Reform Model Accelerated Schools Plus. Too often, acceleration is equated with efforts to move students more quickly through standard materials or programs. But it actually is quite different. Accelerated learning can be defined as, quote, "learning that is of high intellectual quality. It is substantive, authentic, and relevant. Accelerated learning is continuous and connected. It is grounded in high standards. Accelerated learning occurs when students are active and responsible, involved in intellectual pursuits with other students, and turned on to learning. It happens when teachers are highly skilled and knowledgeable. They learn alongside their students and engage in meaningful discussion and dialogue with them. They are reflective in their practice and care about all students." End quote. Defining accelerated learning in this way puts the accent on depth and engagement rather than speed and coverage. Anthony may have needed to move rapidly through some material since he was already behind his age mates, but first he needed to see the value of learning and to trust his teachers to do what was best for him. Once he was able to engage with learning, rapid progress was not a problem. For the students at Affiliated Alternatives, the relevance of the curriculum is a key to becoming re-engaged learners. Students find that alternative does not mean less. It means doing things differently with greater student input into what is studied and how it is assessed. Affiliated Alternatives demonstrates its commitment to this approach to acceleration by its own affiliation with Accelerated Schools Plus. The Accelerated Schools approach aims to make all students academically able through what it calls powerful learning. Powerful learning includes acceleration strategies that integrate curriculum, instruction, and school and classroom context. It derives from a rich literature of best practices both for students in poverty and for students identified as gifted and talented. When schools fully implement the Accelerated Schools model, powerful learning is evident across the entire school and in each individual classroom. Teachers and students make powerful learning come alive in student research activities, artistic endeavors, community studies, and a range of applications in which knowledge is applied to real-world activities. Students are expected to generate authentic products, artistic performances, and problem solutions that can be assessed directly for quality. Thus, evidence of student learning never comes solely from standardized test scores. Powerful learning essentially moves a commitment to best practices to the school level. Rather than settling for a few individual star teachers, schools affiliated with Accelerated Schools Plus support all teachers in using best practices. This approach to teaching has a solid history in gifted education. It has long been recognized that students identified as gifted and talented need to be challenged conceptually and given the opportunity to apply their knowledge in ways they find significant. Although some gifted educators argue that students of normal or below normal aptitude are unable to take advantage of these opportunities, other educators, like Joseph Renzulli, have championed using gifted strategies to accelerate learning for all students. Renzulli holds that all students benefit from a wide variety of advanced level enrichment experiences, and that rather than deny such opportunities to some children, teachers must see the opportunities as stepping stones that require individualized attention for each student. He urges gifted educators to focus less on identification of students and more on providing, quote, opportunities, resources, and encouragement to support the continuous escalation of student involvement in both required and self-selected activities, end quote. With this approach, a broader range of students is given the opportunity to develop their potential in many areas. The integration of knowledge from programs for the gifted into programs for students who have been unsuccessful is a favorable development for two reasons. First, when programs like Affiliated Alternatives adopt many of the gifted practices, it shows the viability and usefulness of the gifted knowledge base and validates the role that enrichment specialists can and should play in total school improvement. Second, all students deserve to have opportunities to develop higher-order thinking skills, to pursue more rigorous content than is typically found in today's dumbed-down textbooks, and to undertake first-hand investigations. Successes such as Anthony's indicate that all students can benefit from enriched learning experiences that tie into their real-world experiences. Anthony graduated from WLC in 2002. His life is a far cry from what it would have been had he not returned to school. He reports, quote, "Today, I attend the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater as a political science and pre-law major. I hope to become a teacher. My family still resents my attending school, and I know that if I am going to have the life I want, I will need to move away from my family into a new situation where I can focus only on succeeding," end quote. Anthony's story is definitely one of triumph over the odds. In graduating from high school, he overcame the negative influences of the community and family in which he grew up, the lack of stimulation and support in school, and his own lack of motivation and confidence. His final statement about the continuing negative influence of his family is certainly discouraging, but it is not sufficient reason to give up hope for students like Anthony. Having the opportunity to develop academic, vocational, and personal skills has helped him envision a path toward a better life. It is unfortunate that this may mean leaving home, at least temporarily, but he now knows that he has options that were previously unavailable to him. This new outlook on his future comes from working with teachers who genuinely cared about and challenged him. With their help, he was able to engage himself in a learning environment that was relevant and enriching, and to develop the skills that will allow him to pursue his dreams.